coast to coast in Canada, across North America, and around the globe in the World Wide Web, this is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. And Raceline is driven by the 2017 Subaru WRX and WRX STI. Nothing sounds like it or drives like it. And by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. Subaru, confidence in motion. A Subaru Canada presentation. Consider us your national radio motorsport authority, the Raceline Radio Network. Eric Thomas, host and anchor, still battling this cold. Lisa Pileski, our supreme commander, she's fine. In Raceline Master Control, back at co-flagship AM 900 CHML Hamilton. Vic Politian, once again in charge of the network N4, is coming up. A few post-race minutes in the media center with newly crowned Verizon IndyCar Series champion Simon Pagenaud, who nailed a 14th IndyCar crown for Team Penske. And what could easily be the Canadian racing story of the year? Welcoming back 16-year boy wonder, Caden Lapcevich, himself newly crowned 2016 NASCAR Pinty Series champ, accomplished on a bare-bones budget. Canada's Cole Pern, crew chief for Chase Opener winner Martin Truex Jr., talks about NASCAR's hairline laser inspection system that found their car illegal at Chicago. And we get some more of your entries in the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest, your chance at the grand prize pack in the race wrap. Happy Harvick takes chase round number two at Loudoun, New Hampshire, as NASCAR rejigs the laser. And IndyCar will put a freeze on the aero kits next year. So for race fans across Canada and a few U.S. border states, powerful sport, powerful radio for 24 years, this is the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jeff Burton. You're listening to Raceline Radio.
Master, what makes a man great?
Close your eyes and tell me what you hear.
I think I hear the rumbling of power, Master. Is that the thunder of destiny calling me to dig deep within to find my own strength?
No, my son, that's just Master Han and his 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Hey, anyone need anything from the store? A gum?
The 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Butter?
Nothing sounds like it. Nothing drives like it. Subaru, confidence in motion.
Did you hear about Frank? Arrested for drunk driving? I never would have thought he would make that mistake. He's got a great job and is a terrific dad.
Not all drunk drivers are the same, you know. They can be male or female, all different ages, come from all walks of life.
There are many types of drunk drivers. Some drink and drive rarely, while others do it all the time. That's why we have a variety of strategies to deal with them.
You know, a good friend of mine was charged, and she almost never drinks.
Speak your mind. ChangeTheConversation.ca.
It's rush hour, and you just want to get home for dinner. You're starving because the last thing you ate was a chocolate bar at your desk.
Then it hits.
You open the glove box, and there it is, a bag of deliciously tender Jack Link's beef jerky. You pop in a piece, slide the bag of Jack Link's onto the passenger seat, and you and Jack Link's ride off into the sunset.
Or at least you would if you weren't stuck in traffic.
When cravings kick in, why not choose a snack that you can feel good about? And that's low in calories, fat, and carbs. Jack Link's has guilt-free snacking in the bag.
Feed your wild side.
The official beef jerky of the Toronto Blue Jays.
This is the ultimate must-have for motorcycle enthusiasts. Tissot is proud to present the T-Race MotoGP Limited Edition 2016 watch. This watch has the precision of the timekeeper, with chronograph functions resembling a bike dashboard and features such as the brake disc bezel and tire tread on the back of the bracelet. Available at your authorized Tissot dealer. For more information, visit TissotWatches.com. That's T-I-S-S-O-T Watches.com. Tissot, Swiss watches since 1853.
Eric Thomas, Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru, with Raceline Race Wrap as we work it through lozenges here. NASCAR Sprint Cup, second round of the chase for the championship, Loudoun, New Hampshire. Small adjustments took Kevin Harvick to the front, and on the final restart, Harvick hung back while Matt Kenseth spun his tires, and Harvick got the drop on Matt to take over the lead for his first chase win, automatic into the second bracket, and he wins the lobster, far too large to eat. Anyway, Kenseth second, Kyle Busch finished third, points into round three at Dover, Delaware. Kenseth joins Truex Jr. into the next bracket. As we said, Keselowski and Truex Jr. are tied for the top 32 points apiece on the bubble. On the bottom four, McMurray, Dillon, Stewart, and Buescher. Cup clippings, no penalties as it turns out for Chicago race winner Martin Truex Jr. NASCAR revamping post-race tech, increasing tolerances for measurements, and will only issue a penalty if it means a suspension and the taking away of a win that advances a driver to the next round of the chase. Truex Jr.'s Canadian crew chief Cole Pern tells us the laser inspection gizmo examines areas of the car that are prone to race damage.
It's just really tricky. I mean, we're not, you know, not the
the stiffest suspension back there by any means. So it's, you know, things bend and move, and you try to account for that and prevent it, and, you know, and you missed it. So we missed it 2 weeks in a row, which is kind of crappy.
Yeah, it is. The Furniture Row team, though, believes the left rear of Truex's car was knocked out of true because of race contact with Kevin Harvick at Chicago. NASCAR's VP of Racing Development, Steve O'Donnell, says they changed it to make it fairer. Well, I'm glad they did, at least that. NASCAR Xfinity Series Kentucky, Elliott Sadler wins their Chase Opener. The trucks were with Cup at New Hampshire. Their Chase Opener goes to William Byron. Dirt Modified and Sprint Car star Stuart Friesen of Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, 13th in just his second pavement race, and that's pretty good. Cameron Haley of Calgary, 19th in Sportsnet 960's coverage. Coming up, 2016 NASCAR Canada Series champion, 16-year young Caden Lapcevich. IndyCar, post-season notes, they have frozen development of the Honda and Chevy Aero kits for next year. And they're going to introduce a standard kit for 2018, meant to provide, individualism, if you like, between the two makes 2 years ago. The kits really did nothing more than split the field competitively, with Honda suffering due to excessive aero drag on their design they just could not fix. Canada's James Hinchcliffe, by the way, another solid performance this week on TV's Dancing with the Stars, an impressive passe doble, considering the lad had less than 2 days to rehearse it. Hinch and partner Sharna Burgess advance to the next round of DW. A TS. Coming up later in the show, in our second guest segment, 2016 IndyCar Series champion, I don't know if he can dance or not, Simon Pagenaud, right after he clinched the title. Formula One, off until Sepang, Malaysia, started the final half dozen races of the campaign. New F1 chairman Chase Carey says incoming owner Liberty Media is already looking into the future rather than aiming to make a profit. Yeah, the American firm becomes F1's largest shareholder early next year. Already stirring the pot, though, Bernie Ecclestone, staying as a CEO, cautions that Liberty Media is also in business to make money. Well, yeah, of course. They wouldn't be involved in this if it wasn't going to make the money. Chase says that Liberty is not looking to cash in and move on, but are entertainment-based and are in it for the long haul, if they say so. NHRA Drag Racing, Gateway St. Louis. Winners in this round of their shootout, Sean Langdon took it in Top Fuel. Jack Beckman in Funny Car. Alex Laughlin in Pro Stock. That's his very first win, and a good time to register that. Bikes, World MotoGP, Motorland, Aragon, Spain. Honda's Marc Marquez extending his points advantage, holding back the Yamaha charge of Jorge Lorenzo and Valentino Rossi. Marquez started from the pole, regrouped from an early error to grab his fourth win of the campaign. He now leads the championship by 52 points over Rossi, with four races to do and a maximum of 100 points to gain. The Canadian Motorcycle Hall of Fame announcing their 2016 inductees, 11 legends and champions to be honored at the banquet and reunion Din Din next February 25 at the Sheraton Montreal Airport Hotel for TSN 690. Among the riders going in, Miguel Duhamel and Pascal Picotte, both former multi-time Raceline Radio guests. The Hall of Fame was established by Barr and Hedy Hodgson in 1999 to preserve and promote Canadian motorcycle racing history, and what a colorful history it is indeed. Our Rally News is a presentation of the Subaru WRX and WRX STI, creating those monster sales. Better late Godzilla than none. Doubts over Britain's round of the World Rally Championship. No laughing matter now. Rally Great Britain have been cleared, able to at least use roads in the government-owned Welsh Forest, you see. Natural Resource Wales wanted to jack up the fees more than 100%. What? To cover the cost of repairing the forest after the rally was done. What kind of damage is there? Well, anyway, but a new 3-year deal means the Rally Great Britain will go ahead as planned, and that for many is good news. Faces in the pits, the 15th annual 5-day, 1,600-kilometer Targa Newfoundland Rally is all done for another year. We mention this because it's one of the most unique rally events in North America. The winners, Newfoundlanders Richard Atkinson and Jonathan Cole in the Classic Division, Billy Anderson and Max Klein Abrahams in Modern, and Quebec natives Ludovic and Lorraine Lognay in the Open Division at Targa. Defending champions Marius and Rene Dam took home the win in Grand Touring. Anderson and Abrahams claimed the Grand Master Challenge title at Targa. And Danny Thompson's recent attempt to break the wheel-driven land speed record came to an abrupt end with a big bang when his Challenger 2 was badly damaged when the Streamliner blew a rear tire coming up on the mile. Thompson wasn't hurt, but the car sure was. And according to GPS data, Dan was going a healthy 413 miles per hour at about the 4.6-mile mark when the tire blew, and that was that. Back in August,
The 66-year-old son of the late Mickey Thompson broke the class land speed record after a 402-mile-per-hour run on the famed Bonneville Salt Flats. The current Challenger's aerodynamic body, and this is strange, is virtually unchanged from Mickey's original design back in the 1960s, but Danny, of course, has upgraded the engines. Twin dry-block Chrysler Hemis running 80% nitromethane, generating a tidy 2,500 horsepower per. His father, Mickey Thompson, was the first American to go 400 miles an hour or better back in 1960. But Mickey and his wife Trudy were gunned down in their own driveway, murdered in 1988 by a former business partner in a very, very sad story. And that's going to do it for this week on the Raceline Race Wrap. Your questions, your opinions, your comments are always invited, always encouraged. Share your ideas, thoughts, and opinions with your fellow gearheads across Canada and across the network, because your comments could win you the grand prize in the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. We'll get to your emails, your entries, and your comments in a matter of moments. All right, Lisa, let's do the pit stop. And coming up, 2016 NASCAR Canada champ, the youngest in NASCAR touring history, Caden Lapcevich, at the age of only 16, and then 2016 IndyCar champion with Penske Racing on their anniversary, Mr. Simon Pagenaud. This is Raceline, presented by Subaru. See your local Subaru dealer for a performance drive today, tomorrow, any day that works for you, along the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Simon Pagenaud, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
This is the Raceline Radio Network. Eric Thomas in your ears. Have a look at our Raceline Radio Network Facebook page when you can. You can also follow us on Twitter if you like, at ET Raceline. Well, this could easily wind up to be the Canadian racing story of the year. We've said it before and say it again because it happens to be true. Following his dad, Jeff, and Uncle Jim into the sport, their Fastlane Dodge team out of Grimsby, just around the corner from Toronto, barely had enough funding to travel west to protect their points lead this year. But even without a major sponsor, they tallied three wins on the season to score the 2016 NASCAR Canada Series Championship, the youngest champion in NASCAR Touring Series history. Pleased and very proud to welcome back Caden Lapcevich on Raceline Radio.
I mean, you've had a few days to let it sink in. How's it feeling right now?
It's really cool. I think it just started to sink in when I was brought down to North Carolina to do some media stuff down there and do the whole process. And, you know, I did some media training and a couple interviews with some pretty big stations down there. So
good.
You know, I think it's all sinking in now, and you know, I think it feels really cool to do some of that.
One of the neat things that I think happened was just the other day. Tell us about the fact that you had some classmates watching the race on television. That must have been pretty cool.
Yeah, I got a tweet just before the race and stuff, and, you know, my vice principal was like, we shut the school down so we can watch the interviews and stuff, and, you know, it's pretty cool seeing the support that I have back from school and, you know, all my friends and stuff, and how interested they are in it.
Yeah, and has it been tough, and do you think it's going to get even tougher or maybe change a little bit, how you balance the demands of racing? I mean, you race in the summer. You're not in school in the summer, and you're in school now, but, you know, there's that distraction. Do you think that's going to be a big distraction for you, or do you think you're going to be able to handle it okay?
No, I think, you know, I'll find a way to handle it. Like, I know that, you know, my school comes before everything, and
good for you.
You know, I got to keep the grades up so that I can go racing and stuff. So it's just, you know, a matter of, you know, me being on top of things and, you know, getting all my stuff done at school and then fulfilling my racing duties.
Yeah. When you got that first win in the series and there was some momentum there, despite the fact that you guys are running this pretty much on a shoestring budget, you don't have big budgets at all, still looking for a major sponsor. When did it hit you guys that, you know what, we might be able to roll this thing into a championship, or was that even in the picture at all?
I think it was definitely when we got that win and we were able to close up the points. It put so much confidence in our program, and it made me assure things that, you know, we can contend and that we were going to be able to put a good run at this and hopefully bring home a championship.
Caden Lapcevich on Raceline Radio, the age of 16, is the youngest NASCAR Touring Series driver in the sanctions history, winning the NASCAR Pinty's Series Championship for 2016 on Raceline Radio. And again, I apologize for the voice. How did you maintain your focus? And I mean, everyone talks about focus and how important that is, but I know a lot of other drivers who have a lot more experience than you. When they get out front and it looks like they might be able to pull down a victory, suddenly get the shakes and suddenly forget what they need to do to bring that thing home. That didn't happen to you three times. How were you able to pull that down, Caden? I mean, that's an amazing feat.
It's it's just something I sort of practice on. You know, when I was racing the Superstock at Sunset, I gave up a few wins because I got nervous on a final restart.
Right.
You know, I sort of doubted myself a little bit, but I knew at the time that, you know, I had that confidence that, you know, I felt like I could run up front and, you know, felt like I could contend for wins. So it was just about me buckling down and, you know, chasing that and going after that win.
Yeah. Your dad, Jeff, and your uncle, Jim, you know, so much experience behind the wheel. Did you go to them for a lot of advice, or did they more or less let you figure it out for yourself? I mean, that's kind of a hard thing to describe, but how did it all work together?
I've always sort of, you know, used them for advice. My uncle was a, you know, a really established oval racer.
That's right, yep.
You know, my dad was a pretty established road racer, so I was able to go to both of them for a lot of info. And, you know, my dad had a pretty good understanding as on the ovals as well. So, you know, I had a lot of resources that I could use, you know, for help and, you know, how to make myself better and, you know, to be a better performer on the track.
Caden, where does it go from this point forward? I mean, obviously, the goal is still is to get some more funding so you guys aren't doing this and struggling to get, you know, the car on the racetrack, struggling to go west and struggling to go anywhere, really. Where does it go from this point?
Hopefully down south, I hope. But, you know, like you said, we need a little bit of that funding to make it down there. And,
sure.
You know, I think by getting the championship, it leads us in the right direction. But, you know, if nothing was to come up down there, we could definitely, I'd love to put in another full season with the Pinties, you know, just the circuit and all the different types of tracks we go to it's really cool. It really helps you being a good driver, just knowing all the different types of variations of tracks we go to. So, you know, I think there's a few options, but, you know, we'll just see how it all plays out.
Yes, and my sincere hope now that it's playing out, a company will step forward with full major sponsorship for Caden and his family to properly defend his title in the series next year. We have known the Lapcevich family an awful long time. Top drawer folks they are. They deserve nothing less than this. It's a great, great story. And as we said, could easily be the Canadian racing story of the year. All right, Lisa, another pit stop before we spin the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. Then 2016 IndyCar champion Simon Pagenaud. This is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jimmy Johnson, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Raceline Radio Network happens to be Canada's national radio motorsport authority, don't you know? I'm Eric Thomas. Check out my Thomas Tales blog, the Canadian Motor Speedway website, and my Thomas Tales columns and Inside Track Motorsport News magazine, and on the web on the Raceline page at sportsnet.ca when there's something going on. So here we go again with the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest, your chance to win the grand prize pack that we're amassing as we speak. We ask you Subaru trivia questions and stuff. You have to include the answer to those questions in your email of commentary to qualify to go into the break drum for the official draw to win that prize pack. The winning entry is drawn at random. At the end of the on-track racing season, the winner claims the prize pack loaded up with all kinds of good stuff from Subaru. The BRZ Sports Coupe, the official Raceline Radio Network special event summer cruiser this year. So we're staying with this question. The four-cylinder Subaru boxer engine that propels the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. Give me the peak horsepower of that motor, and at what RPM is it achieved or read or registered, whatever you want. I'll ask it again. Four-cylinder Subaru boxer engine that powers the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe.
Give me the peak horsepower and at what RPM is that achieved, okay? Use Eric at racelineradio.ca to get your email entry into us. That's Eric at racelineradio.ca. You spell Eric with a capital E, a small K, and no space at all between Raceline and radio, okay? Eric at racelineradio.ca. Let's go to the mailbag. Oh, this was one I wanted to get in a little while ago. Steve McGinnis sent us a note. He listens via podcast to the program on AM 800 CKLW in Windsor that airs the show live Sunday nights at 8 o'clock. Our good friend Keith Chinnery and the whole gang at AM 800, CKLW in Windsor. Steve goes on to say, I am not a huge race fan, E.T., but I do follow many different race associations off and on. I was wondering the other day why there is no series running at Sanair in Sanair, Quebec, Saint-Pie, Quebec, the three-corner speedway, or the trioval, I guess. If I'm not mistaken, isn't it the longest speedway in Canada in terms of distance? Just curious. Another question I have is regarding your new Canadian Motor Speedway project in Fort Erie I hear you talking about. In regards to the oval, why is it they're not going to make it any larger than three-quarters of a mile? Is not already enough short tracks in Canada? Please answer via email if you'd be so kind. Well, I think I did, but you know, for the majority of the folks listening, email doesn't do you much good. So I'm going to answer on the air, and I hope Steve doesn't mind. I know he doesn't, but anyway, here we go. Yeah, Sanair and Saint-Pie, Quebec used to be a going concern and kind of tough to figure out what exactly is happening there. But let's talk about the track first of all. It is a tri-oval, a triangular-shaped oval at 0.826 of a mile, so it's just under a mile in distance, okay? There also has a quarter-mile drag strip there and a one-and-a-quarter-mile road course. And I think it was a karting course there. I have not been there in a long, long time. It's been around for more than 40 years. It opened, first of all, back in the 70s, I think, with the drag strip. And I think the oval opened in the 80s, if memory serves correct. In looking at their website, there's not a lot of information there. There's lapping that goes on there. There's club use. There's driving schools, motocross, drag racing, and karting. NHRA ran their national event there from 71 to 92. And you've heard us talk to John Forrest and a few others about that. We haven't had a national event there. In 92, they came up with that ridiculous leaded fuel debacle, and the NHRA kind of used that to take the event elsewhere. But the Canadian government decided all of a sudden that leaded race fuel was toxic and wouldn't allow them over the border, the NHRA guys, because many of their divisions, other than the nitro stuff, run on very high octane leaded gasoline. So that curtailed the national event there, which was a shame. The CART IndyCar Series ran there from 84 to 86. You remember some pretty good races there. Johnny Rutherford, Danny Sullivan. One of the sad side of it, though, that Rick Mears screwed up his feet in a very bad crash there. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't that where Shirley Muldowney got injured, too? Yeah, I remember one of her interviews. She talked about being in hospital near Montreal. So it's famous, infamous maybe for a couple of bad injuries. But the IndyCars ran there back in the early to mid-80s. And it says on their website that they ran ACT events, the American Canadian Tour, Tom Curley's old tour, on the Oval, but Sanair was not on their schedule for 2016. So as far as I can ascertain, Steve, it's open, Sanair is, in Saint-Pie, Quebec, not far from Montreal, for private stuff. But as far as you're saying, sanctioning things and other organizations running there, that hasn't happened there and hasn't happened in a long time. If anybody has any information on Sanair and what they may be planning to do with that thing in the future, because it was a really big going concern and one of the most important race plants that we had in the country for a long, long time. In terms of CMS, only three-quarters of a mile, Jeff Gordon says it's better because it's big enough for the big boys and small enough for the small boys. The top sanctions in IndyCar or open-wheel racing and stock car racing can run at the place because they're the same size as Richmond. They both run there, but you can also get the regional series like ACT and the NASCAR series to run there. It's not big enough that it's not going to curtail them running at a place that large. That's why it's three-quarters of a mile. Subaru trivia question you have to answer to win the prize pack. We want your entry. Four-cylinder Subaru Boxer engine. The power is the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, giving the peak horsepower and at what RPM. Use Eric at RacelineRadio.ca to connect with your mail. Eric spelt with a capital E and a small K. All right, pit stop time again, Lisa. Then a few minutes, the 2016 IndyCar champion just crowned, Simon Pagenaud. This is Raceline presented by Subaru. Test drive a BRZ Sports Coupe today for the ultimate in performance handling. This is the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Lewis Hamilton, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Canada's National Radio Motorsport Authority, Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. Almost as if it was scripted or something, a 14th IndyCar title on the 50th anniversary of Roger Penske's involvement in motorsport. But we know it was simply a very good team and a very good driver utilizing his talent that positioned Frenchman Simon Pagenaud as the 2016 Verizon IndyCar Series champion this year, clinching in the final race on the schedule at Sonoma, California. Plugging into the IndyCar media post-race conference with some re-asks at Sonoma, we welcome back Simon Pagenaud on Raceline Radio.
Well, Simon, it has been quite the journey to get here, hasn't it?
It's been a long career. You know, you start, you're 7 years old, you go through a lot. I remember my first race in France in a go-kart. It was raining. I had my visor open because I had the wrong helmet. I didn't have gloves, and I still have that picture at home. And the ground that I covered since is quite incredible. So, you know, I just feel so blessed to being a human that has been able to live his dream and get to this. I've basically accomplished all the dreams I had. Obviously, the Indy 500 is next, but this was my kid's dream. So I'm very emotional inside, even if it doesn't show.
It's just your second season with Team Penske, Simon. Did you think this level of success was obtainable this quickly?
I hoped we would. Yeah. I mean, obviously, when you join a team like Team Penske, they deliver the best cars. They provide you the best equipment out there. And as a driver, it's your job to do the best job possible. And obviously, when you're against Power, Castroneves, and Montoya, these guys are pretty much the benchmark in the world. So it's about pushing yourself, finding more out of yourself. And obviously, we all have the same cars. So last year, you know, was a learning curve as a team. As a driver also, I realized that there were some areas I really needed to work on, which I did during the winter. And with my team, my crew, my strategist, Kyle Moyer and Ben Bretzman, we worked at a different approach for this year. And this approach has been basically the approach we've had with Ben since 2010, and it worked out really good. So.
Lots of hassles last year. I mean, lots of adjusting, no wins, and there was some frustration that was visible. So winning the title this year for you has got to be very, very satisfying.
Yeah, last year was tough, but, you know, it was unfair to imagine a transition would be that easy, especially with a new team. It's the first time again that Roger and Tim Cindric fielded four car in IndyCar.
Yeah.
So we had to assemble the complete new team from people that were working on other teams, people working on other cars within the team. And it's just like it's like a football team. You gotta make that chemistry. You know, make sure that the chemistry is going to be the best. It took a while. It took us a while. You know, it wasn't easy, and it took me a while to get used to my and new environment and know what I could not do. Mm-hmm. I think this year you saw more the passion that you usually see that you saw at Schmidt as well. So I just did my thing and stayed focused on that, and I think that's what happened.
Newly crowned 2016 Verizon IndyCar Series champion Simon Pagenaud with us on Raceline Radio. We talked about the long journey to get here, you know, the IMSA stuff in there as well, and you learned a lot from Gilles DeFerrin. He was kind of a mentor. Was there a point where you thought, you know, your dream and your goal just might be a little unrealistic?
It was a dream, but a very far dream, yes.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Gilles DeFerrin told me when he hired me, you got to forget your dreams about driving an IndyCar. And I said yes, because I wanted to drive. But very quickly he realized that it wasn't gone and that I lied, which I did. And but it was okay because, you know, he taught me a lot of things. I completed myself as a driver with him. I used that opportunity to drive sports cars with a lot of open regulation and allowed me to understand better what racing is all about, not just, you know, turning right when in the right corner, but there's so much more to it. And I think it opened up my window of operation. And having Gilles next to me, being my Yoda, like I say all the time, it's been pretty cool. And, yeah, it's... it's just incredible. When I look back that I've been able to accomplish this, I just feel, it's funny. I just feel so blessed. It's like, what a dream life. I mean, it's crazy.
The final race at Sonoma, it was pretty hot out there. I mean, how tough was it winning this one to clinch it all?
Yeah, it was physical. We didn't have many yellows.
No.
By lap 40, I looked at the dash, and I just have to click on the button to check the number of laps we've done. I was like, 40, 45 to go, really? Not even halfway.
No.
I had to drink a lot, make sure that I stayed hydrated. And I wasn't under much pressure, so I can only imagine back in the pack must have been even harder. But it was physical. I was very hungry. I got hungry the last 10 laps. It was horrible. I was like, oh, man, I've got to eat something. Oh. I was like, I've got to eat something. So they actually gave me a bar that right after the race, my crew. But, I could only think about I was really hungry at the end of the race. It's crazy. That was the only thing I was thinking about.
You planned to be aggressive in this final race. Were you?
I never thought about it. I just thought, it's been working. I think my aggressive side is different than some other drivers' aggressive side. I think my balance is just a little different in my head than some other drivers. I don't crash much, and I think at some point you need to realize your qualities and your weakness, and I think that's one of my qualities. So how do you push that limit just to the right level is what's tricky. But certainly this year, I've been on the offensive mode, and it's been working for me. So certainly some races I've been more aggressive than others, and it paid off. But today, honestly, it was aggressive with the car to get lap time out of it, to get away from people, but it wasn't about passing people and being aggressive that way. So made it a lot easier.
Will Power didn't let you walk away with this at all. I mean, he applied the pressure all season long, didn't he?
Well, I mean, Will is a tremendous driver. I'm even more satisfied to win against him. I've always... I always thought he was the benchmark of speed, especially in IndyCar series. But even since we raced in 2005, he's always been, he was faster than Kubica when Roberto Kubica when we were racing in World Series Renault in Europe, and Kubica went to Formula One, won Grand Prix. So Will is, to me, he's one of the most talented drivers I've seen with Lewis Hamilton. So obviously being able to win against him is big. But he's had a tough season. He's had some up and down, and obviously he's been a friend. We have a lot of respect. I think the respect is even more growing. And he's shown a lot of strength this year. A lot of being able to come back like he did was incredible.
2016 Verizon IndyCar Series champion Simon Pagenaud is our guest on Raceline Radio, and apologize again for the voice here. Well, to win a 14th IndyCar title for Roger Penske in his 50th anniversary season, that's got to be pretty special.
Yeah, the numbers look great for sure. It's very satisfying that way. There were a lot of French people here this weekend too, so I had to win, man. It's certainly a big year for us. I mean, 50-year anniversary, getting a championship for the team, and then winning myself. So my name is always going to be there. It's great. Great to be the little thing that I am in such a big team with such history, it's feels great.
Simon Pagenaud on Raceline Radio. Team chemistry, we always talk about that, and it's analyzed in different ways. It's so important, though, to the overall success of the whole organization. Yourself, Will, Juan, Elio, all bring something important to the success of this team, right?
Oh, yeah, the driver chemistry has been amazing. I mean, Juan Pablo, for me, has been a huge help on the ovals. Helio is just he's just our dad, man. He's just he's always there, making sure that everything's going well. He's always happy. I admire the guy that he is just for waking up so happy every day. And he drives better every year. It's incredible. But Will and I mean, we have a similar background, and we push each other really hard. But all four of us, we have qualities, we have weakness, and it's very interesting to see how everybody works. But we've worked so well together this year. I don't think there's been any issues at any points between us, no dispute, nothing. It's really been a really good, one of our best years with my teammates, for sure.
Added to the list of Penske IndyCar champions like Mears, Unser Sr., Unser Jr., Sneva, Sullivan, DeFerrin, Hornish and Power, we add the name Simon Pagenaud on Raceline Radio. Just a happy guy who loves where he is and totally loves what he does. And he wins a championship on the 50th anniversary of Penske involved in the sport. It all seems fitting somehow. All right, Lisa, one last final stop, and then we'll come on back and ramp up next week's show and more on the last lap for you. This is Raceline, presented by Subaru, powered by the heart-pounding turbocharged WRX STI on the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Damon Hill. We're coming right back on Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Eric Thomas, it's Raceline across Canada on the Raceline Radio Network. White flag is up, so the final lap of this week. Here's what we're going to do for you next week. Going to put a cap on the 2016 IndyCar campaign with some in-depth thoughts and projections from RacingNorth.ca's Stephanie Wallcraft. What might we see in 2017? Going to get back to Red Deer Alberta's Parker Thompson, talk about his U.S. F2000 exploits this year and his Formula Ford scholarship adventure that's coming up in the U.K. Plus more of your entries and emails for the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. But when checkers fly, we say goodbye. Enormous Raceline thank yous to Simon Pagenaud, Caden Lapcevich, Cole Pern, and NASCAR and IndyCar Media. Thanks to Supreme Commander Lisa Pileski and Vic Politian for ops and pre- and post-production, and to our Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest players and qualifiers. So from all of us at Raceline Radio, I'm Eric Thomas. So long, everyone. Raceline Coast to Coast on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru, has been driven by the 2017 Subaru WRX and WRX STI. Nothing sounds like it or drives like it. And by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. Subaru. Confidence in motion. Talk to y'all again next week, right here on Raceline Radio.